great. We start with
2 3. Psalm this morning is Psalm 85. Lord, thou hast been favorable unto thy land. Thou hast brought back the captivity of Jacob. Thou hast forgiven the iniquity of thy people. Thou hast covered all their sin, Selah. Thou hast taken away all thy wrath. Thou hast turned thyself from the fierceness of thine anger. Turn us, O God, of our salvation, and cause thine anger towards us to cease. Wilt thou be angry with us forever? Wilt thou draw out thine anger to all generations? Wilt thou not revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee? Shew us thy mercy, O God, and grant us thy salvation. I will hear what God the Lord will speak, for he will speak peace unto his people and to his saints, but let them not turn again to folly. Surely his salvation is nigh to them that fear him, that glory may dwell in our land. Mercy and truth are met together. Righteousness and peace have kissed. Truth shall spring out of the earth, and righteousness shall look down from heaven. Yea, the Lord shall give us that which is good, and our land will yield her increase. Righteousness shall go before him, and shall set us in the way of his steps.
Thank you. Shall we bow our hearts before God? Heavenly Father, we have so many things to be thankful for this day. We thank you for carrying us through this week when we said goodbye to John Runtula. We thank you for carrying the family through and upholding them. And we pray for Denise and Mary and the families close to John, that you would lift them up, that you would continue to guide them, give them the wisdom that they need and the guidance that they require. Lord, we pray that you be with them. We also pray for family and friends that are affected by the wildfires. We think of our families in Yellowknife, Kelowna, Enderby, Squilex, Sorrento, the Carameas Valley toward Headley, and Kelowna. Lord, we have friends and family in all those locations, and we pray for them. We pray for their safety. We pray that you would preserve their homes and their buildings and their businesses, Lord, and that you would guide them. And to all those people that are affected by fires everywhere, Lord, we pray that you would be with them, uphold them, and comfort them. We pray for our speakers. We think of Misha as he comes to speak to us this morning, that you would give him the wisdom, the strength, and the guidance to speak the word and give us eyes to see and ears to hear the message that comes. We thank you for our speakers in our church. We thank you for Tom. We thank you for Stephen. We thank you for Daryl. And we also thank you for their wives who uphold them, who comfort them, who guide them, and who care for them, Lord, and who pray for them. Lord, we pray for all of these things in Jesus' name, and we are especially thankful for that prayer that you gave us, which is, Our Father, whom art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those that trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Now, before we sing 673, I have a special friend that came to us today that I didn't realize was going to be here. But when Terry Stone walked in the door with my friend Bill Vail from the Lions Club, who I've known since I've been a member and has been a very good friend of mine, and he's helped me through a lot of things, and I welcome him here to in our presence today. So let's continue with 673.
Away. morning and God's peace. Grace to you all and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. And today, for this Sunday, our text is Gospel from Matthew, chapter 15, and verses 10 to 28. And I would like to divide this text totally, 19 verses, I would like to divide into two parts. First, I will read verses from 10 to 20, and then after this text, 21 to 28. So let us read in the name of Jesus Christ. And verse 10 we start. And he called the multitude and said unto them, Hear and understand. Not that which goeth into the mouth defileth the man, but that which cometh out of the mouth, this defileth a man. Then came his disciples and said unto him, Knowest thou that the Pharisees were offended after they heard this saying? But he answered and said, Every plant which my heavenly Father hath not planted shall be rooted up. Let them alone, they be blind leaders of the blind. And if the blind lead the blind, both shall fall into the ditch. Then answered Peter and said unto him, Declare us this parable. And Jesus said, Are you also yet without understanding? Do not ye yet understand that whatsoever entereth in at the mouth goeth into the belly and is cast out into the draught or draught? How to read this word? Draught. But those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart, and they defile the man. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man. But to eat with unwashing hands defileth not a man. Amen. And the first verse of our text, verse 10, it is written here, And he called the multitude and said unto them, Hear and understand. And to understand it better, why he called the multitude, we maybe should briefly go back to the beginning of this chapter. And in the beginning of this chapter, in the first verses of this chapter, we can read that Jesus had another discussion and even conflict with the Pharisees. With the Pharisees. And even it is written here that those Pharisees were with from Jerusalem, so and from the capital. And as we know that sometimes some specialists or lecturers come to smaller towns or village from the capital, for example, or from big city. In America, maybe if somebody comes from New York to a small village, he is important man. And those Pharisees, they were especially evil, probably. So, and they had some discussion about, so those Pharisees rebuked Jesus that his disciples didn't wash hands, their hands before eating bread. And they said, doing so, they violate their rules and traditions. And Jesus answered them that they violate God's commandment. And he spoke about parents' relations between children and their parents. So So, and it was this discussion. And now we come back to our text. And he called the multitude and sent unto them, hear and understand. But, so, here we should remember that also Jesus said, like it is written in Matthew 16, verse 6, Jesus warns his disciples. He said, take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. And maybe because of that, he called not only his disciples, but also and other people. So a lot of people, in fact, he invited to listen to him. And also it relates and to us today when he said, take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees. And in fact, what is leaven? Leaven is a substance or thing which we put to dough, and the dough grows and is good for baking bread. And in my life, somewhere in 1995, 1996, I was involved in this business of doing bread. I owned a small bakery, in fact. And I learned a lot about making bread, and I can say that when we we use usually yeast. Yeast is like leaven. And yeast, when we put yeast, and this yeast works in a special environment. So the best temperature for yeast, when yeast works the best, is from 28 to 32 degrees Celsius. Yeah. And I would like to say that we all have this leaven of the Pharisees inside of us. We all people. What were those Pharisees? So they were righteous people. They were very good people. So they knew the law by heart. They tried to do good things, and also they watched other people, and they were quick to judge others. If they see that somebody sinned, so they said, oh, he's a sinner, he's a bad man, and so on. But we Pharisees, we know the law, we keep all commandments and rules and traditions, and we are much better than they are. And their problem was that their righteousness was so-called self-righteousness. And in fact, they didn't need a savior. They didn't need anybody to save them from their sins, because they didn't see their sins. So, and this leaven of Pharisees we have in us too. And only also, I remember I read somewhere that all people, we all have in our bodies, we have cancer cells. But they don't develop, they don't grow when everything is normal. Yes, and in same we have a leaven of Pharisees in us. And we should try not to create this environment inside of us when this leaven start to grow and to bring spiritual disease into us. So, and how can we do it? So we should stay with God's word, with fellowship with our Christian brothers and sisters. Yeah, we should listen to sermons and be with in prayer to God and to Jesus Christ. So this is, and because of that, and Jesus didn't want not only his disciples but entire church, if we say about future, to know about it and to understand this risk. So about the same like about our health. So we know what is good for us, what is bad for us about cancer again. So we know if I do something like smoking, alcohol, and some maybe not so good food, risk will increase. So we should try to keep our risk of spiritual disease low. So, and then next verse of our text. Hear and understand, not that which goes into the mouth defileth a man, but that which cometh out of the mouth, this defileth a man. And Jesus says here quite, for that time it was not completely usual when he speaks these words. Because then in Jewish society there was a theory that there was a different kind of food. It was unclean food and clean food, and like it was called, and even now it is called kosher food, even in stores, when Jewish people, they can ask, is it kosher or not kosher? Yeah, so clean and unclean food. But Jesus says here that there is no unclean food. And he says, not that which goes into the mouth defileth a man. So it doesn't matter what we eat. Yes, it can be maybe not so good for our health, but in spiritual sense, it doesn't defile us when we eat anything. But that which cometh out of the mouth, that defileth the man. Okay, and then came his disciples and said unto him, knowest thou that the Pharisees were offended after they heard this saying? And disciples tell Jesus that the Pharisees heard his words and they were offended and became angry because of his words. But he answered and said, every plant which my heavenly Father hasn't planted shall be rooted up. Which plant did he say about? In this case, those plants Jesus meant were those human rules and the traditions which were established additionally to the God's law by humans, by people, by those Pharisees and scribes. Yes, and Jesus says that the time will come and all those humans' theories will be rooted up, will be removed. And it is so, because the only one absolutely pure source for us is this God's word. Only God's word is perfect, perfect word for us. And all other things which were added by people, by humans, it is not good enough. So, and then in the verse 14, Jesus says about Pharisees, "Let them alone. They be blind leaders of the blind. And if the blind lead the blind, both shall fall into the ditch." And here Jesus compares those Pharisees, which were spiritual leaders of that society, no doubts, but he compares them with the blind people. And if the blind lead the blind, both shall fall into the ditch. And there is a painting, picture of some old artist. I don't know, maybe it was, I don't remember name of the artist, but this picture or painting shows this situation when blind leads other blind people. And there is a group of people there, they're going, all of them are blind, and already two or three are in the ditch, and others going to be there too. So if you are interested, I think it is possible to find this page in the internet. So, and it is very bad when leaders of a society, or today we can say leaders of some country, are spiritually blind. It is dangerous not only for them themselves, but also for other people who are led by them. So, and society and this country can be in a dangerous situation. Maybe finally it can come to destruction when we have such blind leaders. So, and Jesus also told his disciples about this danger. So, and then verse 15, "Then answered Peter, his disciple, and said unto him, Declare unto us this parable." So Peter asks about this parable which we read in the verse 11. And Jesus said, "Are ye also yet without understanding? Do not ye yet understand?" So, but first, maybe this just a brief stop. Are ye also yet without understanding? And we can see here that disciples didn't understand what Jesus said them before. And this is quite often in the New Testament when we read about Jesus, about his disciples. It is quite often that the disciples didn't understand what Jesus said. And I think it is good for us. It is good for us they didn't understand then, because they didn't understand and Jesus had to explain them. And he explains it now for us too. Otherwise, it could be Jesus said, they said, "Oh, we see, we understand." But we maybe wouldn't understand in this case. So, and Jesus explained them in the verse 17, that whatsoever entereth in at the mouth goes into the belly and is cast out into the draught. So Jesus says again, we briefly spoke about this, that what we eat doesn't defile us in spiritual sense. But those things which proceed out of the mouth come from the heart, and they defile the man. So, but those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart, and they defile the man. So when we say something, some bad words, it defiles us. But words don't come just themselves. So initially, these words were created by our thoughts, by our intentions, and they were created inside of us, like Jesus says here, in the heart. And in fact, all bad words, all evil words, or even all bad and evil deeds, they didn't happen just themselves, accidentally. So all evil deeds first were created, they were thought by the people. And when we consider every bad thing, for example, any crime didn't happen just itself. So this criminal, he was thinking about it first. First it was created in his heart or his mind, and after that this crime was committed. And this is true for everything, for any war, for anything. So, and they defile the man, so such things. So all evil things, Jesus says here, come out from inside of us. And here we should think, or we should take care about our spiritual health, that such bad thoughts shouldn't be born inside of us, in our heart or in our head, so inside of us. And then in verse 15, for out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, yeah, Jesus says, for out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witnesses, blasphemies. So here Jesus explains that all sins, all kinds of sins, all kinds of bad things proceed out of the heart, out of inside of us. And these are the things which defile a man, but to eat with unwashing hands defileth not a man. So, and of course it is not maybe not good for health, it can be when we eat with unwashed hands. But in spiritual sense, it is not a problem. But when it is much worse, when our hands are clean, we wash them often, and everything is clean, and we, I don't know, take shower often. But when we are clean from outside, it is good, but it can be bad that a clean man from outside, he can be dirty from inside. And the same in another case, Jesus made comparison with the coffins where dead bodies are. And he said that those coffins are beautiful from outside, but inside they are full with dead bones and all this decayed flesh. So, and this is a good warning for us. When we read such words, and when we read the Bible, when we read words of Jesus, I think we should always compare it with us. We should try on this on us. What does it mean for us today? This is the most important, because not like Pharisees, or maybe it is written about somebody else, or I don't know, not about me, but it is written about ourselves, and this is for our use, it is written. And we should think what means it for us today. So, okay, and now we let us read the second part of our text today, starting from verse 21 to 28 and 21. Then Jesus went thence and departed into the coasts of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coasts and cried unto him, saying, Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. But he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, Send her away, for she crieth after us. But he answered and said, I am not sent, but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. But he answered and said, It is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it to dogs. And she said, Truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table. Then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith, be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. So, and here we came to the second different part of our text. It is written, Then Jesus went thence and departed into the coasts of Tyre and Sidon. So, and Jesus decided to go away from this Judea, from Israel, from those Pharisees and scribes and all those spiritual high priests, spiritual leaders. He decided to go to, how it is written, into the coast of Tyre and Sidon. And those two cities or towns, Tyre and Sidon, they were close to a Jewish country, Jewish land, but they were different. So in fact, Gentiles lived there. And Gentiles, I understand, not Jews or pagan people. So they were, in fact, pagan people lived there. And Jesus decided to go there with his disciples and to have some rest, maybe, and to learn his disciples, to teach his disciples in a quiet situation. But something happened there. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coasts. So what do we see here? Some woman who was a pagan woman, she came out of the same coast. So in fact, she lived in this pagan land, pagan country, but she moved away from there. Came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. So we see that some pagan woman went out of this pagan country and she approached Jesus and became and cried unto him, Have mercy on me, O Lord. So probably she heard, she heard about Jesus, and information about him was spread beyond Judea, Jewish land, and people in pagan countries also heard about him. So, and this woman heard about him, and she had a big problem. Her daughter was possessed by a devil, and the daughter was sick because of this and in a bad condition and dangerous condition. And this woman, probably she tried with the help of doctors to do something, but nothing helped. And she heard about Jesus, and she went to him when she heard that he was coming there. And she said, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David." And here we see that she calls Jesus Lord and son of David. It means that she recognized in him son of God, in fact, and God himself, Messiah, son of David, Lord. And she asked him to help her. And it is interesting here to think about. We can see that, but that Jesus left land of Israel, he left a country of Jewish people and went to land of pagans, where pagans live. But earlier, we in the 10th chapter of the same gospel from Matthew, we read, okay, I can just read it. So when Jesus sent his disciples to preach, when he sent his disciples for their ministry initially, he told them, chapter 10, verse 5, "Go not into the way of the Gentiles and into any city of Samaritans, enter ye not, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." And Jesus considered that he was sent to the lost sheep of Israel, and he even told to his disciples not to go to the land where Gentiles live. But he didn't prohibit them completely. Maybe at that time it was so. And Jesus emphasized several times that he was sent to the people to save his own people, his Jewish people. But like Apostle John wrote in his Gospel, chapter 1, verse 11, "He came unto his own, and his own received him not." Received him not. And we see that those spiritual leaders of Israel didn't accept Jesus. They didn't recognize their Savior in him. They didn't recognize Son of God of him. So like it is written, he came unto his own, but his own received him not. And Jesus departed from them. And just in this chapter, we see that he had a conflict with the Pharisees and he left them. And it is an interesting situation. Those, even Pharisees, those Jewish people, they were sent Messiah, Son of God, came to them, but they rejected him. And in fact, from salvation, they willingly moved to perdition. And opposite situation with that woman. She was a pagan woman, but it is written here, she came out of the same coasts. She moved towards Jesus. She left her land. she came, it is written, came out of the same cause. She left her pagan land and moved towards cause. And in spiritual sense, it means much more that she left, in fact, her sinful life, because pagans, they live in their sins, but they don't understand. They don't realize that they are sinners. But that woman, she left this sinful ground, she was there. And she understood her sinfulness, in fact, we can because of her words, have mercy on me, have mercy on me. If somebody says, have mercy on me, it means that he realizes that he or she has a problem, or she was a sinner, and she asks, have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. And he asked here for his daughter, and it is interesting that physical problem was in her daughter. And daughter didn't pray, didn't ask Jesus. She was sick, but her mother, in fact, prayed for her. It is also interesting that now we pray to God. We pray to God, we pray to Jesus, and we pray, oh Lord, have mercy on me and help me and be merciful. And when we pray today, we don't see that one to whom we pray. We don't see God. But situation with that woman was different. In fact, it was her prayer, but she saw God. And she prayed, it is interesting, so she prayed to God and he was in front of her. She saw him with her physical eyes. And she said, have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. And but it is interesting that verse 23, but he answered her not a word. Why did Jesus didn't answer? We can think that he, maybe because he didn't like pagan people, maybe he didn't want to serve to them, but it is not probably correct. But he answered her not a word, and his disciples came and besought him, saying, send her away, for she crieth after us. And probably this woman said those words, have mercy on me, and my daughter is grievously vexed with the devil, help me. And probably she said it many, many, many times, because disciples became annoyed. And they said, oh, let her go. Do it for her and let her go, because she cried after us, is making noise around us, and let her go. But he answered and said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And here Jesus didn't answer her, didn't say a word, because he saw something special in this woman. He saw her faith. He saw that she understood that he was a Lord and Son of God, but he wanted to test her faith, and he wanted probably to increase her faith. So he tested her. And he delayed with his decision. And also he says here, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And he says here again that he was sent to the people of Israel. And he said, so maybe because Jewish people were around him, even his disciples, they were Jews, and he wanted them to hear that he came to Jews, and he wanted to them to know about that, and he wanted them maybe to convey this idea to other people. And in this case, when Jewish people knew about Jesus, that he was sent to them, they wouldn't have any excuse on the Last Judgment when they could say, oh, we didn't know about that. So Jesus told them that I was sent to you, but they rejected him. So, and he says this verse, but verse 25, then came she, this woman, and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. So she insisted, she asked him again to help her. But he answered and said, it is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it to dogs. And it could be even sound cruel. She compares, you know, this woman and people like her with dogs. But this woman showed her humility. She was completely humble, and she obeyed to will of Jesus. And she said, truth, Lord. She agrees, yes. She wasn't offended by his words about dogs. She was humble, completely humble. And she said, truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table. And she said, even little crumbs, little pieces of your mercy would be enough for me and for my daughter. So, and here, in the last verse of our text, then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. Great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And here Jesus rewards here, rewards her. And he says, be it unto thee even as thou wilt. Yeah. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. Yeah. And it is interesting that we can say that this woman, she was probably the first pagan, maybe first or maybe at least one of the first pagan people who was saved by Jesus. And we are in this room mostly pagan people, I think. So maybe not so many Jewish people here. Though even Jewish people today, they cannot be saved only because they are Jews. They also should be saved by Jesus to be saved. But we should be all thankful that Jesus came first to his own people, to Jewish people, but then he came also and to pagan people. And because of that, we can be today his disciples, we can be children of God. Yeah, and we should be thankful for that. And this woman represents all pagan people. Yeah, and we follow her. Yeah. And it is also interesting another thing here. So daughter of this woman was healed by Jesus, though daughter himself didn't do anything for her healing, but her mother prayed for her, and prayed for her not just she prayed for, I don't know, for a minute and said, "Oh God, help me," but she prayed with passion, with all her energy. We like it was a matter of life and death for her. And Jesus heard, accepted her prayer and answered to this prayer. Yeah, in fact, like I already said, she prayed in front of God. She saw him with her physical eyes. Yeah. So this, in conclusion, I would say, so this is a good text, consisted of two parts, and both parts teach us a lot. So let us be in this, let us keep ourselves in this word, in our prayers, and let us be true disciples of Jesus. And may God bless all of us. And in the end, accept God's blessings. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. In the name of Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen.